things on your schedule that you need to do. Well, first let me tell you what, it's for a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest. It's basically, it's a weekly magazine. It's basically for collectors of baseball cards and baseball memorabilia. And one thing they like to do is read about former ballplayers. That's where their interest lies. You came up with the old Browns as a second baseman, but you eventually played everywhere. You were a regular shortstop, you were a regular second base. What was your best position?
Well, either one was okay as far as I was concerned, but I really preferred second base.
Okay.
The reason I made the transition to shortstop is because they didn't have a good one then, and so I just moved over there, and they had a better second baseman. And, you know, it was just a matter of fitting, the ball club together, that's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you were just
primarily
a
second base, yeah.
You were a good middle infielder either way, though.
Yeah.
Okay, Uncle Sam got a hold of you, and you missed the World Series in 1944.
Yeah.
That was probably when you would have been at your peak.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. Statistically, you know, my RBIs were increasing, my average was increasing, and everything was going, upward. That's my performance.
You had some excellent RBI totals for shortstop, 85 and 88, or even
shortstop, yeah.
Where did you bat in the order?
Well, they moved me around quite a bit, fifth, sixth, seventh, second.
Whatever, you had an opening.
I had to win a ball game. You know, I was never really what you might call a cleanup hitter, because they always had somebody there.
Yeah, but you had some good punch, too. You hit 16 home runs one year.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a distinction probably nobody else had. You went to the Browns, to the Indians, to the Pirates twice in your career, right?
Yeah, I made each ball club twice. I don't know whether they got me back in the form of regret of having lost me or what. It was just one of those freakish things. I ended up with three different ball clubs twice.
In the same sequence.
Wow.
Before the 48 season, in late 47, I guess it was, the Indians paid a heck of a price for you at the time. And they seemingly had a solid infield. What was the deal?
Well, they had four good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I became the fifth one. As a matter of fact, they played virtually the whole season with only five infielders, and they had eight outfielders.
Wow.
So what they were trying to bolster was, you know, some additional punch in the outfield. I had some great pinch hitters, who played outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I played every position in the infield.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the fifth wheel in the infield. I played second, third, short, first, you know. Matter of fact, I ended up playing first base when Bob Lemon pitched his no-hitter.
Okay.
Which I've never played first base in my life before.
You must have done something right.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, I remember reading that Bill Veeck insured your face for $1 million. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. That was one of his publicity stunts, you know.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, what happened was when I was with St. Louis, I had been traded in 47, in the fall of 47, the Washington Senators. And I think they finished either sixth or seventh or eighth, and we finished close together, you know, at the bottom of the pits. And I just figured, what the hell, there's no point going from bad to worse. It was one of those situations. So I was working in a movie, and I just said to myself, well, I might as well quit baseball and just concentrate on movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Bill Veeck entered the picture. And when I made up my mind I wasn't going to go to the Washington Senators, St. Louis Browns nixed the deal, and then started dealing with Bill Veeck, who became interested.
What kind of guy was Veeck to work for?
Beautiful. None better. None better. No better owner and understanding of ball players than Bill Veeck.
I've always heard he was definitely, totally for the ball player.
Oh, yeah, all the way. I think if he were alive today, he would be saying hurrah for everybody who's getting all the money they're getting.
Oh, great. What do you think of that?
Huh?
What do you think of all the money they're getting?
Well, I'm just sorry. I'm not 20 years old.
Boy, I I bet so.
I'm sure every ball player that I play with right now is saying I was born 40 years later.
I just talked to a fellow the other day that played, well, about the same time you did, Chuck Deering, and that was the first thing he said. He wished he'd been born 40 years later.
Yeah, everybody's saying that, of course.
A question that, or a statement that's made frequently is that Bill Veeck belongs in the Hall of Fame. Do you think so?
Yeah. Yes.
He did a lot, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I think he did a lot for baseball. I really do. I think he gave it a little lift that was very badly needed at a time when, you know, baseball was kind of dreary.
Well, all the exploding...
I've always said that, you know, baseball was show business.
Sure.
Ever since I was playing, I called it show business. Nobody believed me, but that's what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because even with the advent of television, it made it even more a show business than ever, you know.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
And I often wondered why the AFTRA hasn't gone after these people and maybe joined the union. Because they are in show business.
Oh, sure. And they're getting paid like now, too.
Yeah.
The exploding scoreboards today and the gimmicks on the computerized scoreboards and everything, this is all traces directly to Veeck.
They ridiculed
him at the time, but everybody does it now.
Oh, sure.
I remember when I was a little kid, I got a 52 baseball card of you. And on the back, it said you acted in the off season, and I thought that was about the neatest thing I'd ever heard of. When did you start acting?
Well, I was born and raised out here in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and I started working as an extra in Argan Comedies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my mother and father, or at least my mother did, thought I had the makings of another child star, so they invested a great deal of money at that time, which was $10,000. I think it was 1927, somewhere in there.
That is a bunch of money,
in which I had a principal role as a child, and the movie was never finished, and they lost their money, and that was the end of my child, and then I never resumed it until I became an adult.
Well, when did you start it, before baseball, or was it something that you just did to fill in the offseason?
I didn't quite understand what you said.
Did you start it, were you acting before you played baseball, or did you start acting to fill in the offseason?
No, I was attending the Pasadena Playhouse. I never really lost a buck. In between seasons, I would attend, I'd study at the Pasadena Playhouse,
mm-hmm.
So I was really, you know, and looking forward to the day when I'd be through as a ball player and take up acting.
Well, you got there.
Yeah.
On baseball, who was the, you played in the American League, and there's some good ball players around the league. Who was the best player you saw?
Well, I put Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio at the top of the list at all-time greats.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see players of that caliber anymore. I really don't.
No, doesn't seem to be coming along. What about pitchers? Who was the best pitcher, or maybe the toughest pitcher on you?
Well, Bob Feller obviously was one of them.
Sure.
Yeah. Some of the great ones were on the way out, you know, when I came up, but I certainly had a lot of respect for them. There's Lefty Groves, Lefty Gomez, you know.
Oh, yeah, they were the last couple of years.
Yeah, but it was, and Dizzy Dean, I was awesome to bat against guys like that, because growing up, there were such great pitchers, and you know, I was in awe of them, of course.
Sure.
So that was it. But I think, you know, the outstanding pitcher that I really had to face was Bob Feller.
And he sure took a beating in the war too, didn't he? He lost probably 100 wins.
He lost a few years. I lost four. I don't know how many Bob lost.
I think it was about four. Yeah. Okay. Since you started, it's been, well, this is, I guess, 50 years since you came in the majors. A lot of changes in the game.
Sure.
What do you think, for the better, for the worse?
Well, the only thing I think it's better for is the financial status of the ball player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would enjoy playing ball today, having to fly from town to town as they do now. There was a lot of camaraderie when we were traveling by train. That I don't think they get on an airplane, you know?
Well, you get 3 hours, you get...
on a train from city to city.
Sure.
And there's a lot of fun involved. You know, there's a better rapport between the players. I don't think that exists today. I think it's everybody for himself today. notice, hey, I'm going to get that much. It wasn't that kind of a thing. And, you know, going back in years, I think right after I got out of baseball, I really took three ball players to a Hollywood agent here and tried to get them signed up with an agent. And it never came to pass. They backed off at the last minute for some reason.
The players did or the agents?
Well, it was Duke Snider and Bob Lemon and, I can't remember the third guy now.
Huh.
But they were all Californians out here, you know.
Yeah.
So I took them up to this agent. I said, it's about time, you know, baseball players got agents. And they probably agreed at that time until I got up there and began talking to the agent, and they backed off. But this back in, what, 53?
Mm-hmm.
Long before agents became very prominent.
Well, you can't be a ball player without an agent today.
No way.
Well, you've had two careers that have put you very highly in the public eye, and I know which one has been the most financially rewarding, but which one did you enjoy the most?
I'm not going to compare with being a major league ball player.
That's the best.
I wouldn't even consider being a motion picture star equal to that.
No kidding.
No. I've run into too many movie stars who wish they were major league ball players.
Yeah, I bet.
It's true.
I guess so.
As kids growing up, that's naturally their number one priority. And when they don't make it, you know, they devote themselves to another profession. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I'm a veterinarian today. I couldn't make it in baseball.
Yeah.
This is an aside. There's a Berardino in the Red Sox. Dick Berardino. Is he a relation to you?
A player?
No, he's a minor league. Either manager or coach. I see his name in sporting publications from time to time.
Well, if he is, I seriously doubt whether he's relative. I haven't known about it.
I don't know where he was from, but it's spelled the same.
Playing ball in Pittsburgh, there were some Berardinos that looked me up, but we weren't related.
Mm-hmm. Okay, not the most common name you see.
No.
You dropped the R when you started acting. What, just for pronunciation?
Yeah, it's easier to pronounce. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the only reason.
In your playing days, did you collect souvenirs of your career?
No.
Not a collector?
No, I never really got into that. I wish that I had.
Oh, yeah. Golly. Be a gold mine today, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think the only collection I've made, and it was for the sake of my son, who's a pretty good ball player himself right now, and he's playing at Beverly Hills High, was I got an autograph of Pete Rose in Tommy Lasorda's office one day when they were playing Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
That's the only real collection I've ever made.
How old is your son?
My boy?
Yeah.
15.
What's he play?
Yeah.
What position?
He plays, right now he's playing he was a freshman last year and he played JV, so he's already elevated, into a grade level of baseball that's 2 years ahead of his real, grades, you know.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Sophomore. Now he's a sophomore, he'll be playing varsity next year, so that's the way it goes.
So we can look for
shortstop and outfield.
We can start looking for another Berardino on our baseball card packs?
I sincerely hope so, for his sake.
That would be great.
And I'll happen to be, if it comes to that, I'll be his agent.
Oh boy, yeah, just the heck with acting, huh?
Man.
Good. Do you get much fan mail today, baseball fan mail? I know you get the acting fan mail.
Actually, I get a lot of fan mail, people wanting, autographs, baseball autographs,
mm-hmm.
as well as, autographs from the show. But I get a lot of baseball cards that request for autographs. I think probably maybe I'm one of the very few guys who doesn't mind, signing a baseball card without having to say, hey, you got to pay for it.
Yeah, that's getting out of hand.
I don't send those card shows at all. I wouldn't think of going there and charging any kid, any money to sign a baseball card. Doesn't suit my personality.
No, I don't blame you. What do you think of the whole card show and card collecting situation?
Well, it's a business. Obviously, up front, these guys are getting money, and it means a lot to them. I thought somebody had a good idea once that all this money that they're that they're making on signing these baseball cards should go to the Baseball Players Association Fund, you know.
Mm-hmm, that's a good idea.
At least a charity of some
sort. Sure.
That doesn't seem to be the case.
I don't know. A guy gets $2 million a year and then goes out and gets $10,000 more.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. It's not a money thing. I don't understand that at all, really.
A lot of, and I don't know this firsthand, but a lot of what I've heard is that there's resentment in somebody making money off of their name, which they feel is going to happen if they don't make it. I don't understand it, and you would be a lot closer to it than I would be, and you say you don't understand it, so I guess it is a little bit difficult. You answer your fan mail then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I sent you a postcard.
I'm very religious about that. I think anybody takes time to write me, I certainly deserve an answer.
Yeah, well, that's really, it's only the decent thing to do.
Yeah.
I attended a postcard show with my wife a few years ago. She collects racehorse postcards. And I found a postcard of you and showed it to her. I said,
yeah.
I like this guy when I was a kid. And she said, well, buy it. So I gave him a dollar and I bought it. And I sent it to you and you returned it. And I really appreciated that.
Okay.
My daughter's a big fan of General Hospital. She doesn't get to watch it often, but she's 15, and she's in school when it's on. When school's out or summers and stuff, she watches it. And
yeah. She
says Dr. Hardy's being phased out. Are you?
No. But it's like everything else in show business, you know. The inclination is to show younger people up front, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Phase out. I guess you would say it's a form of phase out because of age, but it has nothing to do with acting.
So you're still going to be in the show, though?
It's just that they feel that there's an audience out there that prefers to watch younger people on the screen rather than the older people. So they write primarily for the younger people.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with one's ability as an actor.
Yeah, well, I guess so. They've got to sell the soap or whatever the product is.
Conversely, at nighttime, they don't mind you showing older people, but the daytime audience, they figure, is a different audience altogether. They cater to a group between, they say, 18 and 49, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's their main basic viewing audience, they feel. So that's what they go for. And God forbid somebody over 50 should be in the bedroom scene.
Nobody over 50 does anything like that.
Not that it doesn't really happen in life, but it's not something you want to show on the screen.
I guess not.
Daytime audience.
This is a little bit of appeal, maybe.
Yeah. They want to see young bodies.
Yeah, well, you can't blame them for that. Well, all right. Let me ask you one more question, and you can go back to your family. I really do appreciate your time. But if you were going back 50 years, would you do it again, baseball?
Oh, yeah, that would be my number one priority, no question about that.
No regrets from playing?
No regrets, no. I had more fun and laughs. Even with the 4 years of military service, I enjoyed it tremendously.
That's good.
It's something I won't forget, ever.
That's good. Tim, one more question. As I told you, that was the last question, but I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
You played with Vern Stevens in St. Louis. Vern Stevens, Junior Stevens?
Oh, yeah. I played with Vern.
Whole lot of power. Understand he had a drinking problem. Argument.
You know, Vern had the good fortune of going to Boston.
Oh, yeah.
The short porch. You know, if you look at his record, I think tops St. Louis was maybe 20, 22 home runs.
Yeah.
Then when he got to Boston, he had the stroke that was designed for that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that he was drinking much when he was in St. Louis. I don't know what happened after that because I lost track of him. I only think I played with him maybe one or two seasons. And, you know, he'd been traded. But I didn't know that he had that kind of a drinking problem.
Well, I don't know. I had heard this.
No, I really don't.
There is a question brought up about him every now and then as a Hall of Fame potential. What do you think?
Well, I don't think no. No, I don't think no, because you see, his stats were all in Boston, really.
Oh, yeah, and they were big, but that's all they were.
And I think once you start to analyze what happens in Boston is against what happens in the other eight ballparks, or seven other ballparks. You know, in those days, there were eight teams in each league.
Right.
So you're talking about seven other ballparks, and then you have to, if you equate what happens in every ballpark, and then you say, hey, you know, this guy could hit home runs anywhere, then it's a different story.
home run total with that switch.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time very much.
You're welcome.
Would you like some, I do four or five of these things a month. Some people want to see them before I send them into the magazine.
Certainly.
Pardon me?
I would love to see what you've written.
Would you like to see it before I submit it to the magazine in case?
I certainly would.
Okay, I'll have it probably in the next, four or five days. I'll have it typed up, and I'll send you a copy as soon as I do.
Well, you have my address?
I sent it to whatever address I had.
1719 Ambassador.
Ambassador, right.
Did you send it to the studio?
I sent it to Ambassador Avenue. I've got it right here. Yeah.
Honey, would you check the door? Is that somebody at the door? No, it's television. Okay.